Go ahead and open to Ecclesiastes 6, continuing in our series of Ecclesiastes this morning. So, everybody's different. You know, we're all different, and we know this. We know we're all different. But when you think about it and you get right down to it, yes, we're all different, but you know what? Everybody's a lot alike in some ways, too. There's a lot of things that we have in common. Whether we think about it or whether we realize it or not, we have so many different things in common. We're all born, we're all created in God's image. So we have that going for us. That's nice. We're all born into sin. So that's not so nice. We don't really have that going for us. Jesus died for each and every one of us. That's another good thing we got going for us. But even if you get beyond those things, everybody wants meaning and everybody wants purpose in their life. Nobody wants to have a life, nobody wants to go through an existence that they just believe and they feel to be meaningless and pointless. And we all want to have satisfaction with our life. We don't want to be dissatisfied. We'd rather be satisfied than dissatisfied. And it's how we go about finding that meaning, finding that purpose, finding that satisfaction, that's when we really start to differ. We really start to see the differences coming out in us. Because what one person decides to seek meaning and satisfaction in won't be what another person decides to seek meaning and satisfaction in. But as Solomon has pointed out, and he has said throughout this book, it really doesn't matter what you look for meaning in, what you look for purpose in. It is all vanity. It is all pointless. It's all meaningless if you do it apart from the Lord. God is the only one who can really bring purpose. He's the only one that can bring satisfaction. He's the only one that can bring meaning to our lives. And I've been saying this over and over, and Solomon has been saying this over and over and over again. And honestly, I'm getting to the point in this series where I kind of feel like a broken record because I feel like I'm just kind of saying the same thing over and over again. But there's a reason for it. There's a reason that Solomon just kind of says over and over and over again, if you're not looking for satisfaction, if you're not looking for peace, if you're not looking for meaning or fulfillment in the Lord, then what you are looking for it in is pointless. Your life can't have any meaning if you cut God out of it. And he spent just about an entire chapter last week talking about how so many people look for peace, they look for meaning, they look for satisfaction in wealth. And Solomon essentially just kind of sums it up and says, if that's what you're looking for it in, you're going to fail. You're not going to find your meaning. You're not going to find your purpose. You're not going to find satisfaction in wealth. It's not possible. So then that begs the question, where do I find satisfaction? Where do I find that peace? Where do I find that fulfillment, that meaning? Where am I supposed to find it from? And we're going to see kind of a change. We're going to see a transition here because at the end of chapter 5, remember, Solomon kind of goes from talking about the pointlessness, the fruitlessness of looking for meaning and satisfaction in wealth, and he says, enjoy the blessings that you have. Stop looking to the things that you don't have or that you think you need to have and simply enjoy what God is doing in you now. And now we're going to see this transition from enjoying the blessings of God to this kind of breakdown of that enjoyment. Look at chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It says, there is an evil that I have seen under the sun, and it lies heavy on mankind. A man to whom God gives wealth, possessions, and honor, so that he lacks nothing of all that he desires, yet God does not give him power to enjoy them, but a stranger enjoys them. This is vanity. It's a grievous evil. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with life's good things, and he also has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. For it comes in vanity and goes in darkness, and in darkness its name is covered. Moreover, it has not seen the sun or known anything, yet it finds rest rather than he. Even though he should live 1,000 years twice over, yet enjoy no good, do not all go to the one place. See, this is really a tough passage. It's not necessarily tough in the sense of what is he saying here. It's tough in the sense of, wow, that's a tough pill to swallow. Because he sums it up and says, look, the blessings of God, the blessings of life, they don't guarantee enjoyment. They don't guarantee satisfaction. They don't guarantee peace. They don't guarantee any of that. In fact, Solomon gives essentially, from a Jewish viewpoint, he gives the three greatest blessings that a person could have: wealth, children, and long life. He goes through each of those and says, look, not one of those things really means anything or has any value if you can't enjoy it. And I can't help but think that Solomon's, he's given a little bit of an autobiography here. Yeah, he uses some hyperbole here, talking about a man that lives for 2,000 years, has 100 children. He's using a little bit of hyperbole, but honestly, I think he's talking about himself. Because in verse 2, he says, a man to whom God gives wealth, possessions, and honor so that he lacks nothing of all that he desires. That describes Solomon pretty well. Man who had wealth, he had possessions, he had honor. He was a king. He had absolutely anything that he could possibly want. And what we actually know about Solomon, what we know about his life, he had all these great blessings from the Lord. And you know what? He couldn't actually enjoy them. He was never satisfied with what he had. It always had to be more. And he says, this is vanity. It's a grievous evil. That we should receive the blessings of God and yet not enjoy the blessings of God. Because you see, what Solomon is saying here is, it doesn't matter how many blessings from God you have. The blessings of God do not guarantee the enjoyment of God. And they don't even guarantee the enjoyment of those blessings. Because the question is, can we be satisfied by the blessings? That's really what it boils down to. He talks about, he's kind of coming off what he talked about in chapter 5 with wealth, possessions, honor. Well, those things are not going to bring enjoyment. You're not going to be satisfied by those things. So what about children? And he starts talking about a man who had 100 children. This man had a long life. He had all these children. And in Jewish culture, if you were blessed by God, if you were favored by God, that meant that you had a lot of children. If you weren't blessed by God or you weren't favored by God, then that resulted in a lack of children. So from a Jewish viewpoint, this person is incredibly blessed. They've got wealth to the point that they can have anything that they want, anything that they desire. They don't want for anything. They have 100 children. That is great blessing. That is great wealth from the Lord. And yet, this person dies and has no burial. It's describing a person who, though he had all these children, he actually didn't have love from his children. When he died, there was nobody to mourn him. Nobody cared about having a burial. Nobody cared about having a service. Nobody cared about mourning this person that had died, because even though he had 100 children, that didn't mean that he had a relationship or the love of those children. And if he lives for 2,000 years, well, so what? If he lives for 2,000 years, you think, well, that's great. That's a long life. You get to enjoy a lot of things. You'd think, but he didn't enjoy anything. That's the problem. He didn't find enjoyment in life. He didn't find enjoyment in his wealth. He didn't find enjoyment in his family. He didn't find enjoyment in his long life. Because the blessings of God are not what satisfy. The question is, church, are we looking for satisfaction in the blessings of God, or are we looking for satisfaction in God? Because you see, there is a difference. When I was a kid, I used to love when my dad came home from work. My dad had one of those jobs where he traveled a lot, so he didn't have like a standard 9-to-5 schedule. So sometimes he would leave in the middle of the night and get home at like 10 in the morning, or he wouldn't leave until noon and not get home until late that night. It just kind of depended on the day or what the job was that he had to do. But I can remember, as a real little kid, I remember going out into the driveway because dad came home, and I go out into the driveway, and I'm like, hey, dad's home, and he pulled out a Snickers bar and a Pepsi. I was riding high that day. Snickers bar and a Pepsi. I'm like, yes, I got a Snickers bar and a Pepsi. So you know what I did for like the next 6 years? I'd run out into the driveway when dad came home and say, dad, did you bring me anything? We've all experienced that. You come home, your kids say, hey, did you bring me anything? But you see, as I got older, it wasn't really about, dad, did you bring me anything? I didn't care if he brought me anything. I was glad that my dad came home. I was glad that we got to spend some time together. He wasn't at work anymore. He was home. And you see, that's the disconnect here that Solomon is describing. The person that he's describing is a person who is looking for enjoyment, looking for satisfaction, looking for meaning and purpose in the things, in the blessings of God, but is completely neglecting the relationship with God. See, there's a difference, church. Yes, God is our Father. Yes, He wants to bless us. Yes, He loves His children. And yes, He's going to bless His children. But understand, the satisfaction of life, the meaning, the purpose of life does not come from the blessings of God. It comes from God. And we have to know that. We have to realize that. And you think, well, Pastor Brian, of course we know that. And yes, I understand that for the most part, we think in our mind and we say, yes, I know and I understand that the blessings of God aren't really going to bring meaning and satisfaction. And I know that God is the only one that can do that. But at the end of the day, what do we really want from God? We want His blessings. We say, God, I love you and I want to see you work in my life, but you're not working in my life because I've got bills, I've got debt, I've lost a family member, we've got sickness, we've got this, we've got that. And what we have reduced it to is not, God, I find my peace and my satisfaction in you. It's, God, I need you to do this for me. I need you to bless me with this, and I need you to do it in this way. Like I said, it's tough. Because we don't want to be those people, we don't want to be those Christians who just sit back and relish the blessings of God or look for the next blessing that God gives. And yet so often that's what we end up reducing ourselves to. And as Solomon said, it's not a matter of can you enjoy the blessings of God. You see, enjoyment is that divine gift of enjoyment. The person that Solomon is describing, it's not that it's not possible to enjoy those blessings. It's that it's not possible to find true satisfaction and meaning in those blessings. Paul speaks to this in Philippians 4. Remember, we went through Philippians over the summer. Philippians chapter 4, Paul begins talking about himself again. And he says that whether he has much or whether he has little, he has learned to be content in all things. You see, that word content, when Paul is describing being content, that contentment feeling, it has absolutely nothing to do with external things. It has nothing to do with his poverty, had nothing to do with the circumstances that he faced in that moment, had nothing to do with the blessings that he had experienced in his life up to that point, had nothing to do with any of that. It was completely and totally controlled by the fact that Paul had a relationship with the Lord, and as a result, he could be content in all things, regardless of what his circumstances were, regardless of what the situation was in his life. His contentment, his peace, his satisfaction was centered upon the Lord and nothing else. You see, that is what we're looking for. I think that's what we all want. That's what we all strive for. We want to have that satisfaction. We want to have that contentment. We want to have that peace. But as Paul said over and over and over again, and as Solomon has said over and over and over again, true peace, true satisfaction, true meaning, true purpose, it's something that comes and stays only with a relationship with the Lord. Otherwise, you're just describing happiness, which is contingent upon the circumstances being what we like or don't like. And Solomon switches up to talking about work once again. He says, all the toil of man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. For what advantage has the wise man over the fool, and what does the poor man have who knows how to conduct himself before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the appetite. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. And Solomon has said this before. He's said many times, you know, wealth doesn't bring satisfaction. Wealth doesn't bring meaning. Wealth doesn't bring peace. Blessings aren't going to bring those things. Only the blesser can bring those things. Work isn't going to bring satisfaction. The toil of everyday life, day in and day out, that's not going to bring meaning or purpose to a person. And in fact, the person that he's describing here, it's a man who works and he toils and he labors day after day after day, but he finds absolutely no enjoyment and no satisfaction in it because he's doing it for himself. The person being described here is a person of selfishness. This person labors and it's for his own appetite, does it for himself, and yet he's not satisfied. And then Solomon follows this with two rhetorical questions. The question of, well, what advantage does the wise person have over the fool? And what advantage does the poor person have who knows how to climb up the ladder in society? The answer is, there isn't one. There is no advantage. Because whether wise or foolish, whether rich or poor, no person has the capability of truly satisfying their own desires. That is just another lie that we so readily believe. We think if I do this enough, or if I do that for long enough, then I can be complete, I can be satisfied, I won't have to want anymore, everything will be taken care of. You see, Scripture is very, very clear. We can't satisfy our own desires. We can't redeem ourselves from sin. We can't do any of that stuff. Because it was never us that was meant to do it. Satisfaction, all that stuff, it was never meant to be found or attained in our own strength. It is always meant to be attained and seen in God. It's always meant to be realized in the Lord. Now you can contrast this with what Jesus says. This is a man who does all of this stuff for himself, trying so hard, day in and day out, to satisfy his own desires, to sate his own appetite. And he can't do it. He's not satisfied. Look at Luke 14. You see what Jesus has to say about all this work and what it should lead to and where the true blessing really lies. Luke 14, verse 12, he said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you are repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." You see, the world says, if you work hard enough and you do it for long enough, then you can meet any desire that you possibly have because you're doing it for yourself. You can fulfill your desire. You can do whatever you want for yourself. And what Jesus says is, give it away. Jesus says, if you want to be blessed, then don't do it for yourself. Don't work for yourself. Don't try to satisfy your own desires for yourself. Don't focus on your own appetites. Look to others. Look to the one who needs it. And don't just look to your friend or your neighbor or your coworker or your family member. He says, look to those who really need it, that you can really help, that you can really bless, not because they can do something for you, but because God has blessed you, and you in turn can be a blessing to someone else. You see, that just flies in the face of the world's logic. The world's logic says, if I'm going to be happy, if I'm going to be satisfied, if I'm going to have anything, then I've got to work and I've got to keep it all for myself. If I'm really going to be blessed and I'm really going to be happy, then I've got to keep it and I've got to hoard it because it's mine. And Jesus says, no. No, if you really want to be blessed, then give it to somebody else. Give it to somebody that really needs it. And Solomon says too, if that's what you think and that's what you spend your life doing, just working and working and working simply to satisfy your own appetite, to satisfy your own desire, then you're not going to be satisfied because there's no satisfaction to be found in that. And once again, church, that is something as Christians we know. We know that that's true. We've heard it for years. We've always heard, you know, Jesus gave to the poor, we should give to the poor. Jesus helped others, we need to help others. But you see, it's so much more than that. Because as believers, Paul says in Romans, you know, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. This is not about just doing something for the sake of being nice. For the sake of being good. No, this is about allowing Jesus to conform us to his image so that we think like Jesus, that we act like Jesus, we do like Jesus. You see, Jesus fulfilled exactly what he taught there. He filled it perfectly. Because what did he do? He died for our sins. Jesus went to the cross. He bore the penalty for sin upon himself on the cross. He paid the penalty for sin. And you know who he did it for? He did it for us. And you know what we can do to repay that? Nothing. There's nothing that we can do to repay the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. And that's exactly what he calls us to do. See, when Jesus was on the cross, he wasn't hanging there thinking, this is really going to benefit me. He was hanging on that cross out of his love for us. It had nothing to do with what we could do or what we couldn't do. It had everything to do with his love for us. Church, that is the love that Christ has shown us. That is the love of Christ that is in us. And that is the love of Christ that we are meant to show the world. Of course we can't be satisfied by hoarding things for ourselves. Of course we can't be satisfied by working just to satisfy our own desires. Because Jesus didn't do that. How are we supposed to be satisfied by something when Jesus himself showed us the opposite way of doing it? It's not going to happen. It's not possible. So we have to start working. We have to start serving. We have to start giving to others. Because that's what Jesus has shown us. And that's what it means to truly be conformed to the image of Christ. In verse 10, whatever has come to be has already been named, and it is known what man is, and that he's not able to dispute with one stronger than he. The more words, the more vanity. And what is the advantage to man? For who knows what is good for man while he lives the few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? For who can tell man what will be after him under the sun? There are several phrases here that Solomon has used already in this writing. He talks about the more words that a person uses, the more vanity there is to the words. He talks about the shortness of life, the brevity of life. And he mentions the phrase once again of under the sun. Because remember, he uses that phrase, under the sun, several times. He uses it over and over and over again. And the point, the meaning behind it is, if we're solely focused upon what's under the sun so that we neglect what is above the sun, then we will miss the satisfaction, the peace, the meaning, the purpose of life. Because there's so much more to our existence. There's so much more to the reason that we are here than what is under the sun. That is just a small, small, small part of it. The greater part being what is above the sun, specifically the Lord. But he uses, verse 12 is what you would call the main verse of the chapter. For who knows what is good for man while he lives the few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow, for who can tell man what will be after him under the sun? Solomon uses this word, this phrase. He calls life a shadow. It's very similar language to what James uses in his epistle, where he says that life is like a vapor. You know, it's here one minute and it's gone the next. And in the grand scheme of things, that's exactly what life is. We know this. We have a very short time. In the grand scheme of things, we're here for a very finite amount of time. Some people have a little bit longer than others, but at the end of the day, it's not a lot of time. Kids think that time takes forever to progress. And the older you get, the faster time seems to move. Did y'all know it's going to be November next week? Just throwing that out there. But Solomon says, what is good for man while he lives the few days of his vain life? What's the difference between a life lived in vain and a life lived in satisfaction, in purpose, in meaning? The difference is the Lord. He's the difference. He makes all the difference. Because a life lived in vain is a life that is lived solely with the focus of what is in front of me. It's a life that is lived solely with the intention, with the understanding, with the meaning of, this is for me. I have to do this for myself. I have to do this for my desire. I have to do this for my appetite. And when it's all said and done, if that's our way of thinking, if that's the way that we live our life, what do we have to show for it? Absolutely nothing. Because it doesn't matter how much money a person has or doesn't have. It doesn't matter the number of years that a person lives or doesn't live. It doesn't matter how big a person's family is or isn't. It doesn't matter how many hours you worked or you didn't work. None of that ultimately brings your life any more or less meaning. The only way to truly have a life that is lived with purpose, with meaning, a life that is lived with satisfaction, is to stop looking for the blessing and to start clinging to the blesser. That's it. It took Solomon his whole life to figure that out. He knew it at one point, but then he began to experience more and more and more blessing, and he lost sight of the truth of it. And church, that is a danger that we all face. As believers, if you're here this morning, you are a believer in Christ. And that is a danger that you face each and every day. Because the world wants to give us all these other things that says, you can find peace, you can find meaning, you can find satisfaction in this, you can find it in this, you can find it in this, you can find it in this. The list is endless. But God is saying, no. No, there's no meaning to it. There's no purpose to be found in that. The meaning and the purpose in life is found in Him and nowhere else. So as we go into our time of invitation this morning, it's going to be very, very simple. If you are a believer, you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus, then the question is very simple for you this morning. Are you pursuing God, or are you pursuing His blessings? Because you're going to find, no matter how much you look forward to that blessing, no matter how much you want it, no matter how much you desire it right now, you're going to find that you're not actually going to have any satisfaction or peace or meaning in it. Because it's not about the blessings of God. Those are good and they're wonderful and they're gifts and we should thank Him for them. We should praise Him for them. But the blessings of God are not our meaning. They're not our purpose. They're not our satisfaction. God is the one who is our meaning. He's our purpose. He is our satisfaction. Do not get that confused. Do not get sidetracked on that. Do not believe something else, because you will find that you have less and less and less satisfaction in your life when you begin to look forward to the blessing instead of the blesser. So maybe you need to take a few moments this morning. You need to confess that to the Lord. You need to confess, God, I'm not enjoying Your blessings because I'm not actually enjoying You. I'm not looking for You. I'm not desiring You. I'm just desiring what You can give me. God's not interested in being your genie. He's interested in being your Father. So maybe you need to take a few moments this morning and confess that. You need to get that right. And just let Him know, God, thank You for Your blessings, but God, I want You. I want to know you, and I want to pursue you. I want my peace and my satisfaction in you. And maybe you're here this morning, and you've never put your faith and your trust in Jesus. You see, that's where it all begins. We can't just jump the gun. You can't just jump to the point where you say, well, I want my peace and my satisfaction in God. That's a good thing to want. But you see, before you can get there, there's understanding and accepting who Jesus is and what he's done for you. Because you see, Christ knew there was nothing that we could do to redeem ourselves. So Jesus went to the cross. He paid the penalty for sin. He shed his blood for the remission of sin. And he did that so that we can know our Father. So we can know the God of the universe personally. And not just enjoy his blessings, but know him. Find that peace and that satisfaction that comes solely from him. So however the Lord is speaking, however he is moving this morning, I would encourage you to simply respond. You can respond however you want. You can come forward to the altar. You can ask a counselor to pray with you, to speak with you. You can stay right where you are in your seat and just spend some time in prayer where you are. It doesn't matter how you do it. What matters is that you obey what the Spirit is telling you to do right now. So however the Lord is speaking, however he is leading, I encourage you to respond. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the time that you have given us this morning. God, please stir and speak to our hearts and minds this morning, and may we respond. May we be obedient to how your Spirit is speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen.